This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Couple of minutes after 1 o'clock, we've got Jim Byers, Oklahoma City Barons play-by-play guy, Kent Wilson, and also Benjamin Massey before 2 o'clock today. And we're just counting down to the end of a pretty exciting game. Washington up now 3-2 on a Mike Green goal with about 12 or 14 seconds left in that game. That's a crazy series. You know, the NHL playoffs this year, you know, usually I have a decent handle on, and I'm not bragging, but I usually do. It's been off the rails. And actually, Scott Cullen mentioned it last hour about the fact that there's so much is basically even. These teams are all fairly even. And for LA to be up where they are and for Nashville to be down the way they are, and now the Rangers, who look, I mean, that defense looks like the best defense in the NHL to me, and they got rock solid goaltending, and they're 6 seconds away from being tied at 2-2 in that series. And then, of course, you've got the other series as well, New Jersey, Philadelphia. It's been a wild, just a wild, wonderful playoff season. So Team Canada, by the way, lost in overtime. Jack Johnson scoring the goal to make it 5-4. And Washington, by the way, just won. Make it 5-4 for the Americans in a pretty exciting game as well earlier today. The Kentucky Derby has been canceled. And there's no Saturday night hockey game. Oh, actually, there is. And Is that Jim? We're going to talk to Jim Byers right now from Oklahoma City Barons, play-by-play guy. Jim, it looks like they're going to have a lot of listeners from Edmonton tonight because there's no Hockey Night in Canada game. The Kentucky Derby's been canceled, and so you're it, buddy. You're going to be number one on the list.
Well, that's good. You know, it's been an interesting start to the series so far. I think we expected a low-scoring series against San Antonio. Instead, we got a 6-4 game in game one, and who knows what will happen tonight, I guess.
Well, the interesting thing for me, observing the Barons for 2 years now, I don't recall a game where the floodgates opened quite that much. They were up 3-1, and then a lot of things happened, and they ended up losing the game. It's a rare occurrence for the Barons to lose a game like that.
It really is. It was the first game all year, regular season and playoffs, that they lost when they had a lead at an intermission. They led at the first intermission 2-1, and they had zeros in the loss column when leading both after one period and two periods all year and into the playoffs. They had that 3-1 lead early in the second, then they had a 4-2 lead a couple of minutes later, still in the early portion of the second period. And when this team gets a lead like that this season, it's pretty much been in lockdown mode. But the Rampage are a tough team. They keep coming at you. You really wonder how San Antonio does it. They don't, at least in the regular season, have particularly good special teams statistically. And their power play has been great in the playoffs, but they're one of those teams that's greater than the sum of their parts. And to a degree, the Barons are that way too.
I know that Colton Tubert is out, and you know, for the foreseeable future anyway, and we never want to use injuries as an excuse. Both sides obviously have them. But how much have injuries impacted the Barons, especially on the blue line?
Well, they have impacted a little bit. You know, the first series, the Barons were without Taylor Charney, who's a very good player at this level. And now in this series, the Barons are going to be without Colton Tubert. We don't know exactly how long he's going to be out, but he did have some surgery after taking a puck in the face in the last game of the previous series against Houston. So he's going to be out for a few weeks. And certainly if the Barons had both of those guys, they'd be a little stronger. But by and large, the Barons are healthy. They had 8 full days off in between series to rest guys up, and some guys, I understand, were a little sick after that first series. Something was going around, so that should be all gone. And then really, both teams are reasonably healthy, but you know, there's no question losing a guy like Tubert from a physical standpoint, in addition to his playing ability, certainly doesn't help.
Hunter Tremblay, he's got to write a book about his penalty killing because he clearly knows something the rest of the world doesn't know. He's got another goal shorthanded in the postseason.
Yeah, he tied for the league lead in the regular season with 5 shorthanded goals. He got one in the Houston series in one of the games in Houston, and it was a big one too because the game was a little bit close at that stage when he scored the shorthander, and that opened up, I think, went from a 2-goal lead to a 3-goal lead, and the Barons pretty much dominated those first 2 games of the previous series down in Houston, and he helped put that one away. And Hunter has been a very good penalty killer. He's, you know, when you talk to the coaches about what makes a good penalty killer, our coaches frequently will talk about being able to read the play, being a smart hockey player, and Tremblay, I think, exemplifies that. And he's had a very good series a very good playoff run so far through the five games, both at even strength and on the penalty kill.
We always get a lot of emails asking about specific players, so I'm just going to run through the list here, and you give me your update. Tyler Pitlick is playing more and on a more featured line, and seems to be doing a lot more offensively in the last little while. Has his play improved, or is it just the opportunity finally came knocking?
I think his play improved and his confidence improved, and you know he's got good size to begin with, but he skates like the wind. And when you combine those two things, you know, he's been terrific down the stretch. I mean, there was a time earlier in the year when he was a healthy scratch, when he actually could be considered something of a 12th or 13th forward. I mean, as recently as when the Barons were in Calgary to play the Flames AHL affiliate in early February, he was a healthy scratch in that game. He's really come a long way in the last couple of months. He contributes almost every shift now and has really clicked well with Mark Arcabello and Hunter Tremblay, which is an interesting line. I mean, you got three guys that played in either college or university hockey. In Trombley's case, the University of New Brunswick. And in Pitlick's case, you got a very high draft pick who came out of Canadian juniors most recently. So it's kind of a mixture, sort of a hybrid line. But those three guys have really connected well. And I think with Tremblay, it was mainly just confidence. And he's been able to convert now. He's getting better ice time, but I think it's because he was playing better.
How are the Swedes, Pajarvi and Lander, doing?
They're doing fine. Magnus had a couple of assists in the game the other night. And, you know, Lander has been a little bit more low profile, but that's sort of the type of player that he is. I mean, he's a steady type guy and has done well in the faceoff circle. And he's just been pretty much the Anton Lander that I think you guys saw during the course of the year. And slowly but surely, I expect him to get a few more chances down here on the power play and things like that. So far, he hasn't produced a whole lot in whatever opportunities he's had there in those non-checking line roles. But he's paired with Ryan Keller and Philippe Cornet these days, and they've been producing pretty well. So Lander and Pajarvi have been doing quite well.
One of the players that Oilers fans are probably going to get a long look at training camp in the fall up on the left side is Timo Hartikainen. Has he had a good playoff so far?
Yes, very much so. You know, statistically, he's been solid, 2 goals, 2 assists. And then again, most of the team has. I mean, 19 guys have skated in a position player role for the Barons in the first 5 games of the playoffs, and 16 of them have points. So, you know, everyone's contributed. But Timo's playing very well right now. I mean, he's a guy that, when he's handling the puck well and controlling the puck well, especially down low, he's very effective. And, you know, he's the type of guy that's big enough that at this level especially, he can really bounce off people and have guys bounce off of him. And when he braces, whether he's near the net or not, when he braces himself and prepares for a hit, usually he gets the better of it and can maintain control of the puck. So his puck control has been good, and I think he's been minimizing his mistakes. And he's done very well so far. You know, he's even through 5 games, and there are a few guys that are plus players. So, you know, the plus-minus statistics through the playoffs don't look that great, but everybody likes Timu. I mean, he's doing pretty well.
One of the guys that has really shown up in the box scores since the playoffs started is Dylan Yeo. He's a big part of the team's success. Some offense, a lot of penalty minutes. Where does he play on the defensive depth chart? And tell me a little bit about him as a player.
Well, you know, he was a guy that sort of kicked around the fringes of the AHL, mostly an ECHL player for a number of years, and came out of the Calgary Hitmen. He was a teammate for a while with Alex Plante there in the mid-2000s. Was a year or two ahead of Alex. But was a guy that was the ECHL Defenseman of the Year a couple of years ago, but had never really gotten a steady diet of the AHL. He was a small part of a championship team in Hershey a couple of years ago that Brian Helmer was also on, but he only played a couple of games in the playoffs. This year, the Barons signed him around Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, to a PTO, and he wound up signing a standard contract, has been a key guy. He's a guy that does pretty well. He's not a huge guy, but he uses his size well, skates pretty well, and has a cannon for a shot. So he is able to contribute on the power play while still being good in his own end. And he's a guy that's, you know, I'd say at this level kind of a, you know, a second pairing type guy, and he's been very effective down here. He can step up into the rush if need be, but he's not just a pure offensive-type defenseman. And so he's a guy that Dave Manson, the former NHL All-Star and tough guy, is his uncle. His mom's brother is Dave Manson. He doesn't play like Manson as far as he's got some penalty minutes, but some of those were in a misconduct in the Houston series. But you know, he doesn't play that kind of fierce style that Manson did. He's much more of a finesse player, but, you know, he's a guy that has really been a good find for them this season.
It's an interesting blue line, and earlier this week on Jason Greger's show, Stu McGregor, Oilers scouting director, was on, and he made a special point to talk about Alex Plante and about the fact that he might be forgotten a little bit by some, but the organization hasn't forgotten about him. And he's perhaps a guy who has emerged as a possibility at the NHL level after really, you know, honing his skills in the American Hockey League. How has he looked this year?
He's been terrific. You know, he's had obviously the concussion problems that derailed him right after Christmas, and then he came back and he got injured in a fight in February for us. But he's had, a steadier year than he had last year. I think he's just, you know, he's a guy that has to utilize his long reach and his size and has to play the angles well, because everyone knows he's not the fleetest skater, but he's done a really nice job this year. He's one of these guys that has, you know, and hopefully from the Barron's standpoint, it'll continue, but just rarely seems to get burned in visible situations, you know, where you look to him and say, oh, well, he missed his assignment or missed his man or whatever. And so he's had a very steady year. He's getting better, I think, at moving the puck and at times contributing offensively, but that's not his game. I mean, the key thing for him is to make that good first pass and then just be steady in his own end, and that's really what he's been able to do this season.
Okay, the game tonight is, what time is it where you are right now?
We are in the central time zone, so it's going on 2:15 right here in Oklahoma City right now.
Okay, so the game will be 7 o'clock your time, 6 o'clock our time tonight, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if anybody listening in Edmonton, the game is on tonight. It's accessible for Oiler fans. You go to the AHL site, find the game in the scores column, and then click on the radio tower right by Oklahoma City Barons, and you'll hear Jim. I'm looking forward to it. Is that correct, Jim?
Yes, that is correct. I will point out, however, that for Canadian listeners, it should take you to a page on the Barons official website, and there select that you're listening out of the United States.
Okay.
There's a different web stream available for U.S. users that's not available in Canada, and sometimes people automatically click on that, and if they're in Canada, they can't get it. So make sure that there's a page with a bunch of links on it that you choose the one that says listening outside the United States on either a computer or a mobile device, and you'll be fine.
Jim, looking forward to it. We'll be tuning in tonight, and you have a great day.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Jim Byers, Oklahoma City Barons play-by-play guy. He's very good on the radio. I don't know if you've heard him do play-by-play, but he does a very fine job. And looking forward to that tonight, because now I have to talk my wife into it, because she'll want to watch, Breakfast at Tiffany's or Prince of Tides or My Friend Glecko. I don't know what it is, but it'll be something. I am very good at convincing her, because years and years and years of practice, and I've already watched Prince of Tides. So, you know, I mean, it's not like I want to watch it again. Sorry. And if you're a big fan of that movie, I do apologize. Not likely, though. Anyway, this is Nation Radio. Kent Wilson on the way next. We're brought to you by Edmonton Motors.